Okay, freaky fam. Now, obviously, like me, you love the paranormal. You love the freaky, you love the strange. We love it. And if you're looking for freaky places to visit, well, I have got a good one for you. Braxton County, West Virginia. Yes, absolutely beautiful, full of history, and a hot spot for paranormal activity. Now, Braxton County is known for the very famous Flatwoods Monster, but that's not the only bit of strange that calls Braxton home. Uncover all that's weird that Braxton has to offer. Bigfoot, monsters, ghosts, UFOs, and even a Thunderbird. You've got haunted towns, haunted locations, and some of the waters at Braxton County are home to some of West Virginia's biggest monster fish. You've also got the Flatwoods Monster Museum, where you can learn everything about the 1952 sighting of the creature. And just down the road, you've got the West Virginia Bigfoot Museum. Oh man, I need to get there. Guys, this place sounds like a freaky dream. I want to go there now. For more information, check out www.braxtonwv.org/freaky. The link will be in the show description, so make sure you check it out.
Let's get freaky.
Something's in your room. You can't move, you can't speak. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, you're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this this like shadowy demon looking figure in the front seat of the car.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut. So then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway, and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend and we saw eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears. It had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer.
Okay, guys, I am very excited for our next guest. I've been a big fan of this gentleman for many years, and they do say that in the paranormal world, you can meet your heroes, and here we are. I have got Lyle Blackburn with me. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
I am very excited to have you on the show, man. I think I've been badgering you for a little while on the Instagram to try and get you on.
Right on. I know it. That's coming in on all media platforms, so it's a juggling there. So
you're a busy guy. I mean, you're an author, a rock star. You narrate a great series. You've got a podcast. You've got your own source. I mean, is there anything you don't do?
I don't know. I'm starting to wonder that myself, and maybe I should scale it back, right?
No, you're cool, man. It's awesome. It's awesome stuff. Can I ask you what sort of got you into the cryptids and the paranormal? I know you're probably sick of that question, but for the freaky listeners that might not know.
Right. Well, it's relevant. So basically, I was one of those kids that just loved monster movies, you know, right. As soon as I saw monsters or comic books, anything like that, I was all into it. And somewhere around third grade, I got a book called Strange But True, and it had stories of Bigfoot, Yeti, Loch Ness Monster, kind of the big three at the time. And that really just captured my imagination, because I'm like, wait a minute, these are like so-called monsters, and they could be real. People are saying they've seen them. And I grew up hunting with my father. He's a bow hunter. I was born in Fort Worth, Texas, and I've lived in Texas all my life. So we had been out in the woods and in small towns and the whole thing. So, you know, that kind of played into it, because, you know, things like Bigfoot are seen in the woods. So, and I also saw a movie called The Legend of Boggy Creek which dramatized sightings of a Sasquatch-like creature in southern Arkansas, which was just north of where we lived in Texas, right across the border. So then it was like, oh, wow, we got stuff like that here. And I was just enthralled with that, especially the legend of Boggy Creek, because it was so southern and everything. And that just became a lifelong, you know, passion and study. And, you know, years later, I ended up writing my first book, which was The Beast of Boggy Creek, which talked about that case, the sightings of the creature and the making of the movie. And that kind of then launched me, you know, into doing more books and attracted the TV and the whole thing. So,
yeah, your books are absolutely awesome, man. I've got this one here is one of my favorites, The Momo. Absolutely love this book, man. One of the first cryptid books that I read. And I was like, wow, man, it's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. So the Boggy Creek, you played a part in sort of bringing that film back, didn't you?
Yes. So when my book came out in 2012, things were pretty quiet for the Legend of Boggy Creek case, if you will. You know, and Bigfoot conferences were kind of ramping up, and that's just about the time that some of the more well-known shows like Finding Bigfoot were starting to air on television. Monster Quest had been doing stuff, and the book kind of, you know, I guess a lot of Bigfooters and things were interested in Boggy Creek because they had seen the movie. So then I became sort of a focal point as a guy who knows about it, obviously, written a book. And that gave me a platform to kind of share that story. And so, you know, within that, I always thought, well, you know, the film is, you know, it's a sort of scattered about on various DVD releases and VHS. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be cool, you know, to find a copy of the original film and do something? And then eventually, the director's daughter, the movie was directed by Charles Pierce, and his daughter, Pamela Pierce, kind of came into the picture a few years after I wrote the book. And she then had the passion and more, you know, connections and stuff. And so we worked together and eventually found a copy of the film. She was able to have that remastered by Kodak Eastman Museum. And since then, we put out the different versions and the new 4K HD Blu-ray version has a commentary track by me that you can select. And I talk all about, you know, what's going on in the film. So full circle, it's just an honor to be, you know, if you told little Lyle that someday you'll, you know, they'll redo this movie and you'll be part of it, I would have not thought that's possible, but it's really cool to be a part.
That is cool. It's such a cool movie, man, as well. It's a special film. What are your, have you had any experiences with Sasquatch?
Yes. Several incidents over the years. And some of those being significant and in the Boggy Creek area. I mean, I've been kind of all over, especially in the South, and I've had things out there or things howling at us or found a print or two and thought we were close. But actually in 2021, I had a possible sighting. I'm not going to say 100%, but I was in the Boggy Creek area. It was one afternoon, literally during the day, and we were in a place where long history of sightings and some place where some incidents that had happened even to us previously over the years. And I just happened to be looking across this bayou channel. It's very swampy there, sulfur river bottoms. There's a bayou and there's alligators in it, the whole thing. And you can't really walk across there. And we were standing on one side of it, and I saw this. Something caught my eye. I thought something was moving, and I just saw this. It was actually reddish in color. Walked between sort of a trees and through a clearing, and it was huge, whatever it was.
Wow.
In fact, the color of your beard, that.
Yeah. Yes.
It is very much kind of the color, honestly.
Wow, man.
That's awesome. Anyway, so that it, you know, my process of elimination, I'm not 100% sure because I couldn't go after it, and I wasn't. I mean, these visuals are, you know, you only have just a few scant seconds to focus and look and walk by. I know it wasn't a hunter and nobody lives over there. It's the circumstances add up, and you can't even make this stuff up, because we had been in the town of the little town of Falk where all this has taken place. And we were there not 20 minutes earlier talking to a local that claimed he had seen the creature run across a road where there had been a lot of other sightings. And he literally said to me, it looked kind of like an orangutan, and it was like reddish in color.
Yeah.
And then I see that. So.
Yeah, man, that is cool. Yeah. I don't think you get any ginger bears.
Right. I mean,
I've
seen some cinnamon colored bears, up in the mountains of New Mexico, fairly close up. But this just kind of had a different vibe than that in a way. And we really don't have a lot of bears. I mean, there's been a few bears down in southern Arkansas from time to time, but this thing was bigger, definitely bigger, and definitely upright, 100% definitely upright. So I kind of eliminated the possibility of a bear, and I don't know.
Yeah. Do you know if roughly how big it was, if you had to... Had to guess how big it was?
Honestly, it was very hard to estimate that. You know, you think you can give a, I mean, I would, you know, 8 feet, I just did a wild guess, but later we came back with a boat, but it was after the fact, and went over there, and me and two other guys sort of tried to do the, you know, the recreation, you stand there, I'm going to stand here kind of a thing. And it was honestly without any kind of marker saying it stood by this tree, you know, the distance plays a part on how big it was. I mean, you could just see it was big. I mean, this is at least as big as a human, to me, much bigger, but as to give it, whether it was 7 feet tall or 9 feet, it'd be very difficult to say with any accuracy.
Yeah, man. That's cool. That's one of my dreams, is to see a Sasquatch sometime in my lifetime. I mean, they talk about them. I've spoke to a lot of people that claim to have seen Sasquatch in the UK. I know these things are all around the world, and there's all sorts of creatures all around the world. I'd love to see that, man. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's exciting anytime you sort of encounter strange things, you know, even if it's an eerie howl that you can't explain, it gets your blood going. And just to see one now, of course, you know, now it's like, okay, I want to see a better view, a closer view, another one, you know, it just sort of goes on and on, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you had any other experiences where you think you could have possibly seen one or been in close proximity to one?
Yes, I haven't had any other like where I believed I had seen one, but I was in Florida in the Ocala National Forest several years ago and heard something that sounded like something was hitting on a can. And I was there with a researcher friend of mine, and I went in kind of into the brush and tried to see what this was, and something very big kind of ran up, you know, a distance away. I didn't see it, I heard it. And then, you know, I kind of stopped and I could hear it. I would move towards it, trying to put the flashlight on it, and it would get up and run or whatever it was doing. And it just sort of kept ahead of me. And I was actually pursuing it, but it was moving away. Whatever that was, I'm very familiar with deer and the way they run, and mostly they don't make a lot of noise. I've been around a lot of wild hogs. Even I've come up on bears in the wild. They're very quiet. And whatever this thing was definitely seemed like it was running. It seemed, I don't want to say it was bipedal because I didn't see it running bipedal, but it gave you that sense. And it had whatever it was, it knew just to stay ahead, and I could never get up on it. Finally, I had to kind of give up because I was just going way off into the woods.
Yeah, yeah.
It uncharted, and I'm getting further away from my partner. So I eventually just said, I'll never get up on this thing, whatever it was. So I get back up there by the trail where we were, and we did go in. We found a can that was over there. And was it hitting on that can? I don't know. But, you know, what kind of thing would hit on a can? So that was a pretty cool experience. And the other things are just mainly things howling and so forth.
Yeah, yeah. As being a man of the woods, when you hear something, you know the difference, and you know that it's something unknown or interesting, man.
Right. You kind of have to eliminate what it could be. And certainly it's a challenge because most people may not realize that animals make, you know, a dozen different noises each. You think, yeah. Oh, well, a bear goes roar, you know. Well, a bear makes mating calls and distress noises, and there's all these different things. And a fox makes really bizarre noises. You guys got those over there.
Yeah, man. There's a fox every so often outside my house makes these strangest sounds. And it's freaky, right, man. It sounds like a screaming woman sometimes. Like, it's really freaky. So, yeah, I know all about that.
Right. So you kind of have to eliminate all that. And if you're kind of left with a, well, I don't know what it is, not a coyote or a wolf or this or that, you know, you hear those things. And again, it's not physical proof of a creature, but it may indicate that you're in the right area. And it's certainly, you know, spooky and fun at the very least. So there's been a number of those times where myself and very good experienced researchers that I'm with, you know, these guys are woodsmen, that all this kind of stuff. If we all don't know what it is, then we're saying, well, probably a Sasquatch, but hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool, man. So what do you think a Sasquatch is? I know that's a difficult question. Do you think it's more related to humans or ape, or do you think, are you more on the woo side? I know it's woo versus flesh and blood. I put myself in the middle because I hear all sorts of different things, and it's all possible, man.
Yeah, I'm with you in the middle. You know, I like to kind of, you know, I mean, I'll of course started with that sort of view of it being some undiscovered, more ape-like creature. You know, I mean, we kind of had that sort of, it's a missing link thing, which is really a misnomer. There's no one link anyway. But you kind of thought it's mostly ape, you know, and then you listen to some sightings and it does have a lot of human-like qualities. And you're thinking, well, you know, is it feral humans that just went totally like, ugh, you know, and adapted to those environments. And, you know, you can entertain those sort of the flesh and blood scenarios, or as a descendants of Gigantopithecus, you know, those are all good theories. But we're talking about 50 plus years of sightings being logged, of researchers really going into the brush, and now technology with game cameras and this and that, and you're still getting sightings, but you still don't have that proof. So that, I think that's why a lot of the woo stuff or just more extreme theories have come in, because people are just trying to figure out how this could be. If we do have sightings and we trust that at least, hell, if only 5% of those are sightings, they're still sightings.
Yeah.
How we people are seeing it, but we don't, are unable to capture a good photo or get one, a specimen. So I understand all those other theories. And I honestly, I don't know. I don't say I know. And I would have to see one up close to get a better sort of gut instinct on how human or how ape-like they were, or do they seem otherworldly? I just don't know. So I just keep an open mind, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, man. Do you think we'll ever get to a point where we know? Do you think we'll ever find out? I mean, I know technology's getting better and, you know, maybe one day we'll find out.
Well, I mean, I've kind of felt like that for a while, that, oh man, any day, you know, and I, you know some guys and that have had, you know, good sightings, and some hunters that vowed that they would shoot one. And I've known areas where they're sighted frequently, and you think, well, you know, sooner or later, somebody's going to come up with one. And you think just any day you're going to hear that news or get a call, but it just seems to keep perpetually going on. So I would like to think that we could, you know, sort of solve at least one of these cryptid cases soon, but I don't know. They seem to be more elusive than we can solve.
What's your thoughts on like the Patterson-Gimlin film? Because for me, I feel like that's enough to I won't say prove it for sure, but it feels real to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, of course, when I first saw it, it was unquestionably a Bigfoot. You know, your first sort of, you're just looking at it from a neutral standpoint. And I was also younger. Then you start looking at it in a more critical fashion, and we've been able to enhance that video quite a bit, stabilize it, do all that kind of stuff. I see a little bit of both sides. You know, it's not totally out of the human proportion, and we're doing a little bit of guesswork, a little geometry to estimate the height and stuff. But you put all that together, and you also put together the account from Bob Gimlin, and Bob is a good friend of mine that I've gotten to know over the years, and he's stuck by that story, and he's never really profited from it, and had no reason to purport any sort of story or hoax. And I think putting all those together, I lean towards it being a real creature. But again, I don't, you know, you can't look at a film reel like that and say that's proof, because it's not physical proof. It's you know, it's just that visual, and we're taking what we can out of it and trying to be as scientific as we can, but there's only what's in that film, and
yeah,
no more. There's no lost footage that they sat down and had a picnic with Patty or any other things. It's just those frames. And so, but yeah, I think all in all, that's probably a real creature.
Yeah. That was my first taste of Bigfoot, obviously, as a kid, seeing that in a book, actually, and just being like, wow, man, like, I want to see one day.
Absolutely. I remember first seeing it, it actually scared me. I mean, I was pretty young, and I saw that film, and I'm sure I don't remember what I saw it on. It was television, maybe if it was on In Search Of or one of those old shows. But I was surely staying up probably late and saw it, and, you know, and it really spooked me, because I remember many nights where I was out hunting with my father, and even when I was really young, he'd just throw me in like a ground blind and leave me there and go off. He wouldn't come back till it was just dead, almost dark. And, you know, when you think, if I'm in the woods and I'm just, you know, you just have unknown fears like monsters under the bed. Well, when you see a Sasquatch and you're thinking, what if that thing walks up here? That was my thinking. So it was really kind of scary, but in a good way.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? I'd love to see one, but I don't know how I would react if one just popped out in front of me. I might not be, I don't know. I'd like to think I'd get a good picture, but Yeah, well,
that's the thing. You don't really know till that happens, you know, what kind of reaction you're going to have. You may think about, oh, this is going to be great. And I'm just going to get out my camera and take a picture. But like, even when I had that sighting,
you don't think about it.
It's unexpected and so quick. I mean, yeah. I had my phone in my pocket, but there was no way I could get a picture. It was just simply there and it was gone. And, you know, and even if you saw it closer and it stayed longer, you might be just like, WTF, I'm just standing here trying to soak this in. And it could be scary, or it may, you know, some people say that I didn't feel fear. You know, the creature seemed benevolent, but either way, you're still just going, holy crap, this thing is right in front of me. You may not be going, oh, hang on 1 second. Let me get up. Yeah.
Let me get the good angle.
Yeah. Could you just move a little bit to the side? And this is not it.
No. I had an experience. I had a really clear UFO experience. I put it down as UFO experience, but it was very strange. Nothing like I've ever seen before. And me and my mother-in-law was watching whatever this was at the same time. And it was just like a weird shape in the sky, weird shapes in the sky. But we was watching it for 5 minutes, whatever it was. I had my phone in my pocket. I didn't even think of getting my phone out and taking a picture. You know, I wish I did, but I was just taking it in and we were just shocked at what we were seeing. So you don't always think about the picture.
Yeah, same scenario right there. You just, you know, you saw it and people go, why didn't you take a picture? Well, I don't know. I just observed.
In the moment, you're shocked. And yeah, man, interesting stuff. So have you been over to the UK hunting cryptids? Or
I've been to the UK several times, but not for hunting cryptids. That was part of, I'm a musician and I play in bands, and I actually came over and recorded an album there.
Oh, wow.
We lived over there for a month and recorded an album. That was back in the 90s when I was really young. And then my band that I have now called Ghoultown, the last time we played UK was in 2017. We played the Rambling Man Festival outside of London.
Oh, wow, man. That's cool.
And played at one show in London, which was a good show. So yeah, I've been there for that, but I've been in the countrysides and everything and seen the, you know, sort of the geography, but I didn't really just do any sort of cryptid research per se.
You didn't go check out Nessie up in Scotland?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't able to. You know, we didn't have any shows up there, and I just, you know, kind of doing traveling with the confines of that. But that's one place I definitely want to go is to go to Loch Ness, just vacation or hang out or whatever. So that's kind of on the bucket list.
Yeah, man, for sure. Scotland's a cool place. I've not actually been to Loch Ness myself yet either, but that's somewhere I want to go for sure too. You must have been to some amazing places around the world. What are some of the best places you've been to in hunt for cryptids and stuff like that?
Well, you know, I mean, I've been to many, many different countries over the years. Sometimes, like I said, if it was on a tour bus and I have no, you know, just going one place to another, you got to see a lot of the places, but you may not have time. But I mean, I remember going, we were in Poland and places like that and been in Germany and sort of going into some of those woods. We did have some opportunities to kind of poke around and look around and, you know, kind of go into the forests of the old world, if you will, and just sort of like you almost got that sort of like where legends of werewolves are born. And, you know, just the old growth forests and of course the hills and stuff. You know, I mean, I'm from Texas. It's pretty flat. I've been to, you know, some mountainous places, but you get over there and there's beautiful areas. I really enjoyed being in places like Poland, Germany, Austria, was a cool place. And just sort of, I wish I had more time to, if there was sort of a cryptid case and I could afford to go as far as the UK, but you know, it's like half the time I can't keep up with the, driving three states away or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you must have a logbook full of encounters, cryptid encounters. Is your main focus just the whole of the UK, USA, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, there's enough going on here that, I mean, typically, you know, that's what I do. And I'm very much kind of in this Southern vibe. So, you know, a lot of the Bigfoot books and things early on would concentrate a lot on the Pacific Northwest or at least the northern part. So I've kind of picked up the ball, like nobody had written a book about the Legend of Boggy Creek case. And it was aside from the Patterson film, this film was the most famous thing. So I'm like, well, why is there no book on this? You know, like the you know, it says based on a true story, here is the true story, the encounters. And so once I did that, and it's just got that kind of Southern swampy flavor. So I've kind of done a lot of that cryptids in the South. I mean, I did Momo, which is a little more north, but it's still kind of got a bit of that vibe along the Mississippi River. So that's been my primary focus, as opposed to, you know, I'm just going to go, you know, go to Scotland or whatever. You know, if I had the luxury to do that, I certainly would spread out more. But it almost seems like there's as much as I can handle just in the U.S., you know.
Yeah, yeah, you deal with a lot of cases. How often do you get people reaching out, trying to report stuff? Is it still something you're getting all the time?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it kind of comes in waves, but they're, you know, it's pretty much constantly you know, somebody wanting to tell you something or throw in a report or, you know, informing you, have you seen this? So it there's just a constant flow of information. And I, you know, I kind of file it away or whatever for future use or take the report. But I kind of focus in, like if I'm writing a book, then I'm actively trying to find people who have sightings in this area or related to that case or whatever. And then I have some focus on what to get, because you're just taking stuff at random all the time. Or you look through your files and say, okay, yeah, I remember I've got some stuff from that. And so my books kind of tend to then dictate where the active research goes.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Other than the Sasquatch, what is your favorite cryptids? I know that's probably a question you get asked a lot.
Yeah. A lot of them. I mean, I like the case of the Bishopville Lizard Man. And this was a reptilian humanoid type creature seen in the state of South Carolina, which is another southern state east of Texas. But this was a crazy case back in the late 80s in which the people of this area, of this small town of Bishopville, which was on the edge of a place called Scape War Swamp, these locals began to report encounters with this sort of brownish or greenish bipedal scaly looking humanoid thing. And one of the most famous reports was this young man named Christopher Davis, who claimed that this creature tried to get him one night when he had a flat tire out on this deserted road, and it tried to jump on the car and all this stuff. And so that all this kind of stuff got in the newspaper and it was a big deal. And so it falls into that category of a lizard man. That would be a cryptid category of lizard man, with these reptilian humanoid sightings. I love those because I'm a big fan of the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
And this is in that zone of like these swampy, scaly, human-like things that you know, you would think are just from a movie, but people have reported seeing these that I like that. And of course, Dog Man reports have kind of proliferated in the last several years. And always was intrigued by the Beast of Bray Road case, which was a case out of the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, we're talking about something that is essentially described like a werewolf. So there's another, you know, I'm fascinated with monsters, and there, here we have people saying they've seen a real life werewolf. So that's cool. Mothman is one that I've followed and been up to that little town in West Virginia many times, and been out to the places where it was sighted. And that's always been intriguing. This
love to go there. Mothman case.
Those are kind of my favorites, but I really like all cryptids. It could be river monsters, the lake monsters, any of it. It's all cool.
Yeah, man. Mothman's one of my favorites as well, for sure. Have you heard any encounters with people that have seen the Mothman?
I'm familiar, obviously, with some of the original reports, and have spoken to some people that were involved in that. And I've gotten a few reports of similar kind of creatures, if you will, or entities from people, not necessarily even in the West Virginia area, of people describing sort of these flying humanoid things. I've gotten those, and but you know, as far as Mothman in that area, there's, you know, it's not like there's been this long history of sightings. It was a really crazy wild case.
Yeah.
And it kind of dissipated. And then now what you get is a few cases. And then in one spot, you may get something brewing. Michigan, Mothman, another related one.
Chicago's an area that you hear a lot of Mothman stories. Is that a more recent thing? But
yes, that's more recent. There was a flap of sightings of something that looked very much like what people would describe as the original Mothman. So then Chicago, all of a sudden, which is obviously, this is a big city. This is a very odd, you know, this isn't the usual, we were out on a country road thing. This was in the big city, and there is sightings, and some of those credible, some of them not, but very intriguing that it was seen, you know, in a big city. And there's certainly something to that. I haven't, you know, I haven't looked into it extensively, but it's cool that people are reporting things like that.
I find it so fascinating. How do you sort of judge whether, this might be a difficult question, but how do you judge whether a sighting is credible or not? I mean, what do you need to sort of go, yeah? I mean, it's just a gut, like you get that feeling that you trust what they're saying.
Somewhat, yeah. I mean, I'm, you know, you get a sense of people, especially the more people you interview, you can kind of get a good sense on which ones seem like the most grounded individuals that are describing as best they can what they saw, and they believe that what they saw, and they're not prone to fancy. And, you know, it is a judgment call, and, you know, I'm not trained in detective work or anything, but you do get a good sense. And I also start from try to be neutral. I don't start with, man, you know, I believe in them, and this, you know, I try to look at this and say, did this person see something we can't define or explain? Because I'm cool if it's, you know, you want to only include the best stuff, you know, there's plenty of others. So there's no need to include things that just don't seem true, or it seems like the person's making it up, or they're trying to get publicity. I just kind of eliminate those, like, okay, thank you very much. Because there's always some very credible reports. So you just kind of have to just use your judgments, you know?
Yeah. This might be a difficult question as well, but what do you think cryptids are in a way all a part of the same thing? Or do you think it's that might be a difficult question. It might not even make sense. Do you think they're all coming from the same place or in another dimension? What's your thoughts on these things?
Right. I mean, that's a good question because, you know, if we have various types of cryptids and we are unable to prove them, they are in sort of the same category of unproven monstrous creatures. Whether they're related, I don't know if they're directly related to each other, but I think the phenomenon is related because all the things that we apply to Bigfoot, we can apply, say, to Dogman. You know, we have anecdotal evidence. We have witnesses saying they've seen stuff. We've got some footprints. We got people saying they have some hair, all the same stuff. We're still unable to prove it. Well, just a different description. Bigfoot, same thing.
Yeah.
What are these creatures coming in? Like, is it like H.P. Lovecraft where they're you know, crawling through dimensions? And is it sort of the proverbial chicken or the egg? Because you say, well, these creatures, you know, if they're coming from another dimension, that seems like they would have tentacles and just be all over the place or something we couldn't define. Why is it they're basically an incarnation of old legends and folklore? You know, you see a dog man. Well, that's basically werewolf lore. You see a Bigfoot, that's sort of the wild man of the woods. However, you can say, well, the reason those legends are there in the first place is because people saw those things and that created the legend. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a tentacled creature from another dimension. It could just be a werewolf. I mean,
yeah,
but no way to know. And I don't, it's fun to speculate and sort of envision this sort of how we want to quantify and rationalize all this stuff, but ultimately we're just grasping and we're barely any closer to proving it than, you know, people that were doing this in a generation before me, you know.
Yeah. Do you think it's sometimes like a perception thing as well? Like someone sees a Sasquatch, but to someone else that's a dogman, you know, or something else, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think that can be applied here because it seems like in, you know, when I first started doing this, I rarely heard a dogman report. There was rarely anything. There was Beast of Bray Road and there was a few other random things or some old ones here and there. Well, now, I mean, there is podcasts that have somebody on there every single week with a dogman encounter. There is logs of stuff. There's people coming forward saying, you know, and they're like, well, you know, don't tell me it was a Bigfoot. I know it was a dogman. And that can be very well true if they saw it well enough. But I think now there is some give and take as to where if you're, you know, we're out here researching dogman, you see a big bipedal upright thing and you don't see it exactly from the right angle, I saw a dogman. But if you were out there Bigfoot researching and you saw some big hairy brown thing walk across there, we saw a Bigfoot. So there is open for interpretation. And I think that can, no fault of the person, but that's the way the human brain works. We have preconceived notions. Our brain tries to compartmentalize things and put them in things that we can understand. And if you're knowledgeable on, you know, Bigfoot, then you may throw it in that category. Somebody that's, you know, never heard of any of this stuff, they're probably the best witnesses because they don't even have any preconceived notions. So,
yeah.
You know, all of those things play into the difficulty of trying to suss out what is the truth and what are people seeing, because it's skewed by our own notions and our own the limits of our own brain, I guess.
Yeah. That must be cool for you when you come across someone that's not really into the cryptid subject, but they've seen something that they can't explain, and they're telling you what you've seen, and like in your head you're going, yeah, that sounds like a Bigfoot, or that sounds like Mothman. You know, that must be cool. Is that something that's happened a lot?
I would say, yeah, there's a good portion of witnesses that don't care about these things, or their knowledge of Bigfoot is, there was one Bigfoot, it lived in Washington, you know, that,
yeah,
they're clueless. They don't have Bigfoot on the brain. They're not looking for Bigfoot. They don't really even want to see one. Some of the, what I feel are the best witnesses are the people who are not looking for that. They're not already with a preconceived notion. I interviewed a lady who had a sighting in Arkansas in 2014, and she lived on an old country road down by the Sulphur River. And the Sulphur River runs from Texas and runs down through the Boggy Creek area, which creates the Sulphur River bottoms. But she lived up on the higher end of it. This lady, she didn't know really much about it. She heard of the legend of Boggy Creek. She knew of the movie. She kind of knew what Bigfoot was. And she was driving out at 10 a.m. One morning and had to turn around on this old country road and she'd forgotten something. So started to come back, and there was something standing in the road. It had just, you know, when she had passed and it ran into the road and she stopped and turned around, she said this thing was standing there. And she said her first thought was, it's a kid in a costume. She said it was about maybe 5 feet tall at the most. It was had brownish hair. It was covered in hair. It looked ape-like. She could, you know, tell that it was some kind of an animal. It's kind of the way she put it, but not an animal. And it was definitely standing on two legs, and it was just standing there looking at her as if it was just sort of caught in the act or confused. There's a huge wall of woods there, and then that road. And then on the other side is a field. So it was kind of heading towards the field. She said it just sat there a couple of, you know, several long seconds or whatever it was. And at that point, she could tell this is not a kid. This is not a costume. And that thing, she said it turned and just was gone into those woods as fast as she could even perceive it. She was shaken up. And, you know, this again was not a lady that was, she didn't want any attention. Was lucky she would even tell me about it, and she did not want to ever see this again. And she did say, you know, I'm saying, well, look, people see this. This is not something to, you're not crazy. People have seen this exact thing down here. And she said, well, she goes, it was maybe only 5 feet tall. She said, I thought Bigfoots were supposed to be really, really tall. I said, well, that's the thing, ma'am. They don't just pop out 7 feet tall. If these exist in any form, they grow. So what you saw could have been a younger one. You know, there's families out there. And of course that didn't help, because the lady's like, oh my God, you mean there's more? It's like, sorry. You know, so she began to, you could tell her wheels were turning, and she began to see this as like, to put it into her world now. I've seen this. Okay, it was, you know, a teenager or whatever it was, and there's more of them. And, you know, she probably never ever thought about anything beyond, oh, there's Bigfoot. People think it's one thing. And those are the kind of witnesses I like the most, because I could tell that lady, she 100% saw that, and it was 10 a.m. in clear view. How do you explain it? You know?
That's awesome, man. And then there's guys like me and you that would give a foot to see something like that.
I know. I'm just like, oh, dude, lady, I would trade places with you in a minute.
Don't realize how lucky you are, man.
I know. She just wasn't having it.
No, man. It's just a lot of people don't have any interest in the subject. And like when I told my dad I was doing a paranormal podcast and I'm talking about ghosts and cryptids and Bigfoot, and he was like, Bigfoot? What are you going to talk about Bigfoot? There's one of them in the USA. I was like, no, Dad. Come on, man. Right. There's so much to learn.
Right. And that is what you know, most individuals think, you know, if they haven't really thought about it because they haven't had interest. So you got to get people outside of that box, you know, and try to, and that's what I do. It's like, to explain, you know, look, it's, I'm not trying to sell you on it or anything, but here's kind of what I've observed. And you can tell they start thinking, oh yeah, I never thought about that. You know, yes, they can be seen. They can live in here in these swampy areas. I mean, I can drop you in one of those swamps in there with no phone and you'll never find your way out. They're thick and rugged. And, you know, you can easily conceal yourself. There's plenty to eat. You know, we could, you know, a feral human could go back in there and live if he knew how to live off the land. And if he didn't want you to see him, you would never see him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. Especially in the US, you must have areas that are untouched by people completely, like massive areas. So they could there's, be.
Yeah. There's definitely more of that. You know, especially in the traditional Pacific Northwest home of Bigfoot, there is a lot of forestry out there. The South is a little more broken up into chunks to where these things would have to do some moving, but they're still very wild places, and people kind of envision, oh, we live all in the cities and stuff, and they see only what's sort of connected to that, maybe drive to the next town, but, you know, veer off down into some of these more heavily forested areas and you realize, okay, yeah, there's some remote places that if there's a small population of these, they could, you know, be remote and secluded.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like with the cryptid subject in general, it seems to be getting more popular, I would say. It feels like more people are willing to come out and talk about things. In the paranormal in general, I think a lot of people don't like, in the past, wouldn't like talking about experiences and stuff. But I feel like there seems to be a shift in recent years, obviously work like that you do and stuff like that. And do you think more people will start coming out with experiences that, you know, because a lot of people don't like sharing their experiences?
Oh, absolutely. I think that there is more people coming out and saying they've seen something weird. It's much more acceptable now. I mean, they've been exposed to more than a decade of people on TV, on cable television shows, saying they've seen Bigfoot and other weird stuff. And like, well, you know, those people don't seem too weird. I guess I can tell somebody. Whereas some years in the past, people were definitely more reluctant to do that because, you know, somebody would think you're crazy. It could ruin your job and your respect and everything else. But it's, you know, people have seen it on the internet now and it's more acceptable. So I think that's added to why we have more reports now. And it doesn't mean those incidents happened yesterday. Some of these reports are people saying, well, you know, this was 25 years ago and I was hunting and they had some thing that they said, we told a few people, we got laughed at, so we just shut up.
Yeah, you hear that so much.
Yeah, but then they run across somebody like you or me that seems genuinely interested and want to know their story, and they realize, oh, I can tell these guys my story because they're not going to laugh. And now all of a sudden they have a platform to speak, whereas they didn't before. So I think that's added to the volume that we're getting now. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden there's like way lizard men running amok and stuff. It just means that more of the people who have encountered weird stuff are willing to come forward.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Where's next for you? What's the next location? What's coming up next for you? Is there any other books coming or anything like that?
Well, yeah, I've always got a long list of things that I want to do and try to do. A book is probably due because my last book came out a couple of years ago. So it's usually about every 2 years I ramp that up and do something. So I've been doing some research and study to do that. I'm always, you know, I just narrated a film on the Small Town Monsters company, a documentary. I narrated a Chupacabra movie. So that just came out. The release of The Legend of Boggy Creek, things I've just been working on. And then a lot of conferences. There's a lot more of these speaking engagements and things, which is great. You know, you can, you know, meet people, network, and obviously it's nice if you're an author, if there's a platform in which you can sell books. I've been doing a lot more conferences and that opens up the doors to new things. So that's typically how it goes now. It's just sort of just juggling a lot of things, but yeah, definitely the next, thing on the list is a book. And I've also created that podcast, Monstro
Bizarre. I was just going to say, awesome podcast, man.
Thank you. You know, I tried to do something that was a bit different. There's, you know, the format was a little something that was unique and followed the way I do the narrations in the Small Town Monsters movies. So, you know, I'm always kind of like, okay, I gotta, what next episode, but yeah, it's, there's a bit of juggling. So everything's kind of sporadic.
Yeah. It's awesome, man. The podcast is awesome. The things you narrate are all, I think you've got the perfect voice for it. I really do.
Right.
I love it, man. I love it. It's awesome. I want to ask you about paranormal experiences, possible paranormal experiences. I think I heard you on Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Did you say your house was haunted? Am I remembering that correctly? Or have I?
That is correct.
Yes. Is there anything else going on there? Have you had any activity in that side of things?
It's been kind of quiet lately. When I first, I bought this house close to a year and a half ago. And it, you know, it's not an old haunted house out in the woods or anything. It's a newer home, which was an upgrade of the home from what I lived before. However, the previous owner truly died in this house. And I had to do a little research on that. It wasn't all this thing. I knew it was something that happened, but it wasn't divulged to me. So myself and a friend kind of did some reconnaissance, but there's been several weird things that have happened. Something, things flying across the kitchen.
Oh, wow.
Pictures going forward, falling over, weird noises, almost like footsteps, a number of things. And right off the bat, it was like all these things. And I wasn't the only one that observed it. A girl, a good friend of mine, was here, and we saw this piece of a drink shaker thing literally just come off the counter and go all the way across the room. I tried to recreate that. I don't know how that could, I don't know how to explain it, but I wasn't the only one that saw it. So,
wow,
so yeah, it's like, it's sort of like that, what we were talking about before. I'm not even looking for ghosts, and I'm not even trying to actually buy a haunted house. It's cool if I like it, the idea. Yeah. I wasn't even trying. And then suddenly here I am, like the monster guy with my ghost. But wow. it almost seems like in at first it was a lot of weird stuff. And I thought, man, if this ramps up, my daughter is going to be scared. But it's kind of mellowed, which maybe the spirit, if there's a spirit here, has gotten used to us or realized that it's cool. I don't know. That's just my thought.
That's interesting, man. So you had some poltergeist activity going on there, man. Interesting.
Right.
Wow. So have you always been fascinated with that side of the paranormal as well, with ghosts? And have you had any other experiences in that aspect?
Yes, I've actually seen what I believe is a ghost, or at least what it was, what you think of as a ghost. And that happened back in when I was in a senior in high school. I had a friend who lived in a house who claimed that they had seen the ghost of a boy in there. And it wasn't just him. His parents, who were very no-nonsense people, said they had seen it, and even several of my friends. And one evening I was sitting there, we were going to go out, and I was sitting with a view of the where the front door is, and there was a side room, and then it went to a hallway. I'm looking kind of at the TV, and right out of the corner of my eye, some movement catches my attention, and I look up, and I see like a whitish figure about the size of a kid walk right across that area. And when I say walk, I mean, it, you know, was a little hazy, I guess, but it went across there, and I was like, dude, I just saw the ghost. And my friend was very nonchalant. Oh yeah, we've seen it there. And it's like, it's no big deal. But I was like, dude.
Yeah. Wow.
And so that was that. And I was interested in basically all the paranormal when I was young. I mean, I just, anything like not just seeing the Patterson-Gimlin film or cryptids. If I saw, you know, UFO stuff or ghost, what, it didn't matter what it was, I was watching and read many ghost books and so forth. So, and I still love all the subjects, you know, but I can't, you know, it's a little much to be an expert. And I don't even say I'm an expert, but just to, you got to focus in. So I became the monster in the woods guy. Yeah. And, you know, you got your authorities on ghost hunting and other things, but I do love all those subjects, and I sure will listen to, if somebody comes up and said they have a ghost encounter, I'm listening to that too, you know?
Yeah, man. I'll tell you my ghost encounter after the show. I've said it so many times on this show, but wow, man, that's a cool experience. That is a cool experience. When you see something like that, it changes everything. Like, the possibilities are endless because you know that there's more. So anything is possible. And it's so cool, man.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I saw something that, again, I can't say that was a dead person or a kid or a, all I can say is that what I saw is what you think a ghost looks like. And if somebody else tells me they've seen something like that, I'm like, yeah, I saw that. I mean, we may not can explain it, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen, you know?
Yeah. Could you see features on that ghost?
Mm-mm. No, it was too whitish, fuzzy, but just not, yeah, there wasn't enough focus on it like that. It was the shape of a upright walking humanoid, you know, shape, but I couldn't really, and it was fast enough to where, you know, I mean, maybe if I studied it long enough, I could have saw things into it, but I could just see the shape of a person just right by there.
That's cool, man. That is a cool experience. Is there any other ghosty experiences you've had, or?
That was the only sighting I had of a ghost. I had friends that had told me about encounters back in those days. And I actually used to go, out into graveyards out in the woods. And, you know, we would put a cassette recorder on it and try to put it on the grave and turn it on, record, and then listen to it back. This was way back in, you know, high school and a little bit after that we would just do stuff like that. And, but I don't recall anything good coming of it, as far as I never saw anything, or we never got anything on tape or anything.
What about UFOs? Have you had any experiences with UFOs?
I've never seen a UFO. I mean, I've seen stuff, you know, in the skies, but I wouldn't say it was an unknown craft, but yeah, I mean, I have friends that have seen UFOs and things, but I haven't ever seen one.
Not yet.
Not yet. I did see a spook light, a ghost light.
Oh, wow. There's a
road in Texas. It's called Ghost Road. It's actually the real name of the road is Bragg Road, but it is long, you know, said to have these mysterious lights that appear. And myself and a friend were driving down that road one night and saw a light that we're sure what it was. And eventually kind of got up on it close enough and it just goes out. I'm like, and we're like, it was literally right there. We got out and we're like, there's nothing there. I was like, we saw the light. It wasn't a reflection of our headlights. I mean, it was its own light.
Wow.
And I don't know how to explain it, but we definitely saw it.
Was that like an orb or?
Yeah, it was round, orb shaped, kind of, it was fairly bright when it started up and then just sort of would come and go. I mean, I have it on video even.
Wow.
Filmed all that. So, but that's, you know, awesome. All you see is the light, you know, it's like, there's some source there, and I don't, it, the way it dissipated and disappeared, it wasn't a car. It's not like a car then passed, or we didn't come up on there and there was a car parked in the woods. You couldn't even pull a car into those woods.
Yeah.
There's just no more light. I'm like, that's where it was and it's gone.
And loads of people see this phenomenon as well. That's interesting, man.
Yeah. It's one of those spots. I mean, I don't know if you guys have any of the legendary ghost light spots, but we've got several in Texas, the Marfa lights. And then that's also in Texas. And you've got the Brown lights and several other that places where people constantly have seen them over many years. And that's the same as this Bragg Road, ghost light road.
Yeah.
Many people have seen it.
Cool experiences, man. You've had some awesome experiences.
Right.
Thank you so much for sharing your experiences. It's been absolutely awesome having you on the show. It's been a true pleasure. It sort of feels quite surreal, really, because I know you don't know me, but I've known you for years. It feels very strange talking to you.
That's all right.
But
that's cool,
thank
man.
You
I
so
appreciate
much. Everything that you do is awesome. Can you tell the listeners where they can find you?
Yes, you can find out more about me at lyleblackburn.com. And that's got links to the various projects and more information. And, you know, you can get my books there at my online store. But, of course, they're also available on Amazon. So you can get them in your respective countries. And, just drop by and see what I'm doing and where I'm going to be. Around the country a lot at events. So, you know, then somebody could come up and share experiences or just hang out.
Awesome, man. Well, I will share all your links in the show description. Lyle, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. And you're welcome back on Let's Get Freaky anytime, man. Thank you so much.
Right on. I appreciate it.
Something's in your room, you can't move, you can't speak. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, you're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this this like shadowy, demon looking figure in the front seat.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut, so then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway, and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend, and we saw Eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. and it had high pointed ears. It had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer.
What?